just a small bit. Amen. Amen. Once again, we'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. First, I'd like to give honor to God, my wife and family, the visitors, members, as well as online guests. Welcome to the sanctuary this morning as well. We're doing things in a different way, in different patterns, something that, you know, we discussed. And so if you saw a little bit of a shift this morning, that's something that we want to be consistent in going forward. Amen. Y'all ready for the word? I know I am, especially after all of that stuff that happened in the spirit this morning. But God is faithful. Every now and then, he allows for the enemy comes in, and when he attacks, it's just good to know that God is on our side. Amen. Amen. We don't have to duck. We don't have to dodge. We don't have to run scared. We don't have to stand in fear. We are just so thankful that God is with us. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 through 7 says in verse 1, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, I have walked before you in truth with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you from deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David.' Then Isaiah said, 'Take a lump of figs.' So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered." Amen. The title of this morning's message is, "Don't Waste His Time." Don't waste his time. If you're all a little bit warm, can we get an assistant just to turn the AC down to 70 degrees and we should be okay. Amen. Don't waste his time. Thank you, my wife. Amen. Thank you. Lady Martin stepped in this morning. We had our elder had to go out of town, and they actually had gone through some serious things while they were out of town and couldn't get back. And so Lady Martin had to step in and play. She had to dust off those fingers and play. I'm glad I have a multi-talented wife. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Isn't she beautiful? Yes, yes, yes. Have you ever felt like you were running out of time, or that the days were accelerating? I don't know about you, but I put that on my wall just a little while ago of how it felt like the days were just felt like we just were here just a day ago. Like things are just going just so rapidly, and that things are just going crazy. First we had just a president last year, then the election happened, and then now this new particular situation has popped up, and it seems like things are just on warp speed. Amen. It's like Han Solo got into the Millennium Falcon and said, "Okay, let's go on warp speed." That's how it feels. One day you were, and this might help you, this age, and you wake up and now you're that age. You know the age when you say 30 is the new 20, 40 is the new 30, or 50 is the new 40. Amen. I don't ever hear someone say 100 is the new 90. I think maybe around that time, you just don't care anymore. You're just like, well, whatever. You see, the one thing about time is that none of us can stop it or start it. It was made by God. You know, the God who sits outside of it. It's not affected by it. It's not controlled by it. He's immune to it. He is a Kairos God. In other words, he sits outside of time. He's eternal. He has no beginning, and he has no end. He is self-existent, self-perpetuating. He is the creator. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. But then we have time. Time was made by the Lord, the Father of lights. And it was made by him as a reminder to us to not waste it. Not 1 minute, not 1 second, not 1 hour, not 1 day. It's precious, and not everyone has oodles and oodles or a plethora of it. No, not at all. Some of us have had situations where our time has been cut short through death, illness, or tragedy. Others seem to have it endlessly. Have you ever felt like the ones that seem like they live a long time were the most evil among us? Seeming as if they will never pass away with all of their transgressions staring us in the face. And with each passing moment, they just seem like they won't move. And deep down, you ask yourself, God, why won't you kill them? Why won't you eliminate them? Why won't you just snuff them out? Then you have people like many of you in this room who in some way have been reminded that God is moving quickly and you have no time to waste. No more missed opportunities. No more second chances to go forward. And no more moments to recapture the promises God has laid out before you. You know at this point in your life that it is unwise to waste time. Not just your time, but his time, God's time. King Hezekiah was in such a predicament. If you looked at the verses of scripture and you read along with Thibby on this beautiful Sunday morning, you will realize that he was at the end of his earthly tenure and the death angel was looming around his bedside. You could imagine the mixed and intense emotions that the king was experiencing. On one hand, he was regarded as a good king, one of the very few in Judah. He shunned idols. He was strong and steadfast in the faith. But on the other hand, his kingdom was being assaulted by the Assyrians, or the Old Testament ISIS, who was led by King Sennacherib. He was ruthless. And the reason why I said the Old Testament ISIS or Old Testament terrorists is because the way that they terrorized the children of Israel and anyone they opposed is that they used to decapitate the ones that they overcome, and they used to drag their heads by chains in the middle of the city. Nothing new under the sun. King Hezekiah had to face a ruthless nation, Assyria. Today it's called Syria, the same place where there's a lot of chaos, death, and dying, and they also have a new ruthless leader. But God was with him, and Hezekiah knew that. For example, when he needed God to defeat his enemies, the Father sent a lone angel to slay 180,000 of those same wicked soldiers on his behalf, as recorded in 2 Kings verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 35. And after all of that, King Hezekiah falls terribly ill. It's like you just got the new job, but you got a call saying that you are afflicted with blank disease, and you have X amount of days or months or weeks to live. Amen. I remember talking to a gentleman a couple of years ago who used to attend our facility and attend our ministry, and he wasn't very serious about God. He was very religious. He knew how to put on the act, and I confronted him about that several times after service. I said, you can't just come to service just one or two times thinking that that fills up your credit account with God and he's just going to bless you. You need to be sincere. You need to be genuine. You need to treat your family well. You need to have a good relationship with God regardless of your flaws. And he was like, okay, preacher. Or, you know, sometimes disrespectfully, okay, Andre, because he knew my first name. But then as the months passed, he began to have lesions on his face. And then he approached me several days after that, several months after that, and said, The doctors have just told me that I have an incurable form of cancer, and I have X amount of days, weeks, or months to live. And no sooner than that was said, I would see him more often than not, and then he was gone. You see, people of God, like Hezekiah, he was also on his deathbed. But something miraculous happened in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. And here's the declaration. In verse 1, it says, in those days, King Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Wow, that was a prophetic conference. That was a true prophet, Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet. He didn't say you were going to get a car or you're going to get riches or you're going to get this houses, cars, or land by this time tomorrow. He said, God said, you're going to die. And you should be honored, O King Hezekiah, that I told you that you are going to die soon. You should be honored that I said, get your house in order. But the king wept bitterly. And in the inner confines of the hospice, he knew he needed a word. Something that God could just do to turn back the hands of time. If I could just do this all over again. If I would have only listened to my mama and not talked to him or her, I wouldn't be where I am right now. But since I am, let me make the most of this second chance, third chance. That's what was rolling through the mind of King Hezekiah. See, in that key verse, there's a couple of lessons here. Number one, there is a time when God wants us to get things in order. And then we all need to know that there will be an end to our lives. We will not live forever. And none of us in here knows when we will go. I understand about suicide. That's a different type of situation, a different circumstance. And even then, sometimes when people try to kill themselves, they mess up because God had a different plan. What are some things in your life that you want to put in order personally, professionally, or spiritually? Classic example, if you saw a vending machine at the park, at the Amway Center, at the any type of sports venue, UCF, a concert, and you saw a vending machine and it had all sorts of wonderful snacks. Fritos, that's my personal favorite. Cheetos, the hot, spicy kind. Bottles of water, Coca-Cola, whatever you want to call it. And you're parched, you're famished. You have money in your pocket, and you've seen this vending machine before, and you know that if you go there, then you'll be able to get what you need. And when you get closer and closer, you see this white image on the front, and you peer and you look at it, and to your dismay, it says, out of order. Now, let me ask you this. If you were to take that dollar or $2 out of your pocket, knowing that you saw a sign that says, out of order, would you still put money inside of it? Would you still invest in it? Certainly not. So if you understand that example, if your life is out of order, why should God invest in you? Mm-hmm. We would like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. See, if you knew that you had a deadline for a project or a plan set before you, would you do it with haste? Would you do it with purpose? If there is anything that is held secret by God, it's the moment when our life expires. For everyone has an appointment to die and then the judgment. In this case, Hezekiah was told that he never did or he would not have extra years to live, and that his 14-year reign was over. He only reigned at that moment in time when he got sick for 14 years. Hezekiah is a similar type of a preacher that has a reign or rule over the people of God, not lording over them or dominating over them in some type of heretical type of way, but just having a ministry. And then in their 14th year, something befalls that particular man. That's what this man was going through. He was God's man. He served him. He loved him. But then something interesting happens. Listen to this. In verse 2, it says, then he turns his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray how I have walked before you. Just think about the Old Testament and how they prayed towards the Western Wall in Jerusalem. I remember, O Lord, I pray how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Have you ever put your face towards God? And in the midst of your tears, you're petitioning him to turn something around. I know he sent me the papers, but God, if you could. I know she's getting ready to leave, but God, if you could. They're getting ready to take the truck and put it on the tow truck. God, if you could, just put some compassion inside of that person's heart. And because I got to go to work tomorrow, and that's my only mode of transportation, and I have one more check. I get paid next week, sir. I'm not lying to you.
Well, we've heard that before.
Please. Give me a chance. My days are now falling short, God. In verse 5, and verse 4, it says, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court. This was the prophet, and the word of the Lord came to him again, saying, so he had an initial word saying, you're going to die. You have no more time. But then as a result of the prayer of Hezekiah for more time, another word comes to the prophet. See, a prophet doesn't come with their own words. They come with the word of the Lord, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And see, Hezekiah is really cool because Hezekiah didn't hear upon hearing the bad word, oh, you must be a false prophet. And I don't need to be around you, or I don't need to come here anymore. Like we do. He took it like a man. But he still prayed about it. Now, that if there's one way for you to do passive-aggressive behavior, you know how, like we say, we're going to pray about it as a way to delay a decision? Well, God put Hezekiah in such a situation to where he had to pray about this thing. It was something that was intense. But in verse 4, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your life 15 years. I will deliver you in the city from the land of the king of Assyria, or the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. What a major turn of events. It's like Don Lemon coming on at nighttime and saying, wow, Donald Trump has done something noble, and there's peace in the land. The king went into deep prayer, which has some key elements. Number one, he reminded God of his service. I've done this before. And life before him. How things changed in his tenure. How the idols were taken down and how he witnessed his enemies being defeated and how he didn't want to leave this world with things out of order. You could say he was in the bargaining phase. There's denial. Then there's anger, then there's sadness, and then there's acceptance. But then the blessing came, and in the midst of bitter anguish and midst of tears, God healed his body and told him to go to the temple to worship. As a sidebar, this should be a great pattern for us to follow when God gives a miracle to extend our life or gives us a second chance to set things in order. This request for reciprocation was the least King Hezekiah could do in response to God's blessing. That was the least that he could do. God only required, in exchange for this powerful miracle, intimate worship and gratefulness. Not at home, not in the car, but in the house of the Lord and among God's people. You got that. See, what we like to do is we like to get the blessing and get the favor. It happens in our lives, and then we disappear saying, I'll praise God at home. But God said, no, I want you to worship me. That's all I want. Nothing more, nothing less. And I want you to be with me and among God's people, because where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Well, I got two or three people at my house. Now, you know good and well everybody at your house is not safe. And you know good and well you need to come to the house of the Lord, because sometimes two or three that are gathered in this corner or that corner is not either. You just got to find the right group and worship God. God gave the king 15 additional years, not as a personal gift alone, but for his glory and as a promise to the children of Israel, from who, from the foundation of the world, was chosen as the people he would protect on behalf of his own sovereign decree. He was holding fast to the promises that he uttered to David during his era and his reign of glory. What would you do with extra time if you had it? Where would you go? What would you implement? Who would you inspire as a part of your, no, scratch that, as a part of God's legacy? Yes, we have our own plans, but our plans are not God's plans. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 21. It says, there are many plans in man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, in the New Living, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. You thinking about love and hip hop. I'm thinking about destroying this part of the world because judgment is upon them. My thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could ever imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, wow, that's a big gap. So my ways are higher, intellectually, spiritually, physically, metaphysically, than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's why it's arrogant for a man or a woman to say, I can't believe that there is a God. And God wasn't the one that created all of this. Who are you? Were you there when God cracked the foundations of the earth and water began to pour out like a fountain filling up the oceans? Were you there when he put a covered mist over the land and sea and watered the grass of the ground without any rain? Were you there when he created Adam and Eve? Were you there when he flung the stars up of heaven off of his fingertips and put the moon in place and put the sun in place and put the stars in place and he fine-tuned it so that there could be life on the small little planet called Earth? A big God. But he's focused on us. See, you would think that with extra time, God would have given us, or you would think that with extra time that God gave, we would use it wisely. That King Hezekiah would use it wisely. But more time in the hands of man isn't always best. Sometimes you don't need all that time to do stuff. Because what do? Procrastinate. We wait around. We say, maybe, just maybe, if I do this tomorrow, then they'll give me a second chance. I used to do that a lot in my younger years. I used to come in right before the bell would ring. I would come in right before the teacher took up all the tests. But then I came across a couple of teachers that was like, no, sir, you can't come in now because if you're not here on time, then you can't start on time. So I'm going to end you this time. Failed the test, and I had to retake the class. Don't waste his time. God's time. See, we all have to know when it's time to stop and quit. Because sometimes you can prolong your stay and sabotage yourself. Amen. So sometimes we have to know when to fold them. Know when to hold them. Know when to walk away. Know when to run. Kenny Rogers, for those of you that are the YouTube age, just look it up. So we all have to know when it's time to stop and quit, to groom a successor. Pastor, if you listen to me this morning, sometimes you have to know when to walk away. Sometimes you need to know when it's time to groom a successor, not a puppet. Amen. Amen. To relinquish control, even if we don't think that the one that is taking over is worthy. I have to trust my son. I have to trust my wife. I have to trust other people, because if you try to control everything, your head will burst. Sometimes that's why we isolate ourselves, because we can't stand being out of control and trusting other people, because we've been hurt and maligned and used and abused. But that is not an excuse to not fellowship with other people. We also need to be grateful when God blesses us with an extension. Have you ever gotten an extension? Have you ever got an extension? You know that your lights need to be cut off, but they gave you 15 extra days. You know that your phone is about to get cut off, but the man said he's going to call you on Tuesday, and you're begging with the person on Sprint or T-Mobile or Metro PCS, whatever you want to call it. You say, can you just give me a few more days? And then they're like, I don't know if I need to do that. Well, can I please speak to a supervisor? No, I'm preaching. Can I please speak to a supervisor? Is there anybody there? Is there anybody there that will give me a second chance to get an extension? I used to get extensions all the time in college when we couldn't pay our bills on time because we spend it at the club. So we used to ask, can we get some extra time? Well, no, sir. According to policy, we have already given you a couple of other extensions at other times, and you've used them all up. But let me see what I can do. And then they go, and the phone gets silent sometimes, or you hear that crazy little music. Man, I've been waiting an awfully long time. And then they watch this, and then they pick up the phone and say, sir, are you still there? Ma'am, are you still there? Yes, I'm still here. I don't have an answer yet. I'm still working on it. And then you're like, oh, God. But then the answer comes back, and it said, well, we've decided to give you another extension, but this is the last one. This is the last one. This is the last time. Make sure that you budget yourself wisely. Take care and get your house in order. Because usually when God gives us an extension, that means that the plans he has for us haven't been executed yet. This also is the picture of mercy to the unbeliever, because it means that God is adding days so that you one day may repent and receive salvation. I had an individual that was debating me last night and said, well, I know how to get blessings without thanking God or Jesus. Why is that? You're blessed and you have him. I'm blessed and I don't have him. What's so good about him? I said, God has given you mercy. Because nobody's saved out of the womb. God gives us all time to recognize who he is. And then I went on and gave him an example. I was like, well, Just think about it. I have children, and when they were small infants and they just came out of the womb, they didn't thank me for wiping their butts. They didn't thank me for me feeding them. They didn't thank me for the money that was poured into their lives. They didn't thank me for changing their clothes, especially when the stuff got all the way up their back and in their hair. Ooh, Lord. They didn't thank me for any of that. No food, none of that. They just smiled and they were cute. That was it. They couldn't reciprocate. Now, on the surface, you would say, how dare that child not thank their father for giving them life and health and strength and nurturing them and taking care of them? But the child is not in the position to do that just yet. So the father loves just because. And he gives the child time to grow. And trains the child and nurtures the child and continues to do it without looking for anything in return. Because from the outset, it's imbalanced. So if you understand that example, then you also understand how God treats us. Because out of our wombs, we don't know him. Have you ever thought about it? Your child doesn't know who you are when they're first born. They just smile and you just talking to them and they're like, I don't know who you are. You singing to me, you talking to me, I don't understand anything that you're saying, and I'm just smiling because I'm imitating your facial muscles. If you understand that, you also understand that when we are born into this world, we don't know who our father is. We're smiling and going on about our day, but we know something on the inside says that there's something out there. And then, just like a little baby, as that baby begins to grow, they begin to recognize their father and their mother just with the passage of time till it gets to the moment to where they have full acknowledgement of who they are and they reciprocate. That's what it's like when you're born again. You don't know who God is without Jesus, but then when he saves you, you begin to recognize your father and you see him as he is. Oh, that's my daddy. Now we can have a relationship. We can reciprocate. He still has more than I do. But there's a mutual level of dialogue and communication between the two parties. So God gives us mercy. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 8 through 11 says, meanwhile, Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what sign will the Lord give to prove that he will heal me? Because, see, sometimes just a word, especially when you're desperate, isn't good enough. It's not just good enough for Pastor Martin to say, you're going to be blessed. Just continue to come, continue to hear the word of the Lord. That might not be enough. Sometimes you need to see something. Because to every man or woman is given a measure of faith, and you might not be there yet. You might need to see something tangible to let you know that God is present. So meanwhile, as I speed along here, Hezekiah had said to Isaiah, what sign will the Lord give to prove that he will heal me, that he will start my business, that he will take care of my marriage, that he will take care of my children, and that I will go to the temple of the Lord for 3 days from now? Isaiah replied, this is the sign from the Lord to prove that he will do as he promised. Would you like the shadow and the sundial? I love this. This big man right here to go forward 10 steps or backward 10 steps? Would you like for your shadow to rotate this way 10 degrees or that way 10 degrees? Don't move. Watch this. The shadow, as it says in verse 10, always moves forward, Hezekiah replied. So that would be easy. Because as the sun goes forward, the sundial is the ancient world's clock. And when the sun passes over the sky, the clock dial goes all the way around. That's how we have our clocks today. So in verse 10, the shadow always moved forward, Hezekiah replied. So that would be easy. So he started doubting the man of God. Make it go 10 steps backwards. See, Pastor Martin, you can't just have God once your dreams and visions realized. You need to have this and that and this, and then I'll come. Never mind the past 6 years, you got to do something greater than that. Then I'll know that you're really a preacher. So Isaiah the prophet, Lord have mercy, asked the Lord to do this. And he caused the shadow to move 10 steps backward on the sundial of Ahaz. Hold up a minute. What happened right in that moment? Well, this is when God will redeem the time. If I can turn back time, then if I can find my way, I'll never want to hurt you. God redeems the time. I remember when we first started this ministry, I was 34 years old at the time. And I used to wonder, and I used to ask my wife, I said, you know, I know that there's a couple of my contemporaries that started when they were in their early or mid-20s, and every now and then, I wish I would have started back then, because I believe I would have been a lot further than I am right now, and it used to bother me. But then the old prophet from Tampa would say, God can redeem the time. Yes. Wow, I know that for sure. He said it just like that. Old prophet, he's going to be 70 years old pretty soon. And he said, God can redeem the time. He can accelerate things. And I didn't quite see it, but then God began to give us things rapidly. What it takes other people and other ministries 20 years to get, we get it within 5 or 6 years. We moved here in our fifth year. We had our first building after 5 months. Who does that? Surely not me. I didn't have a Yale University divinity degree. No. That didn't happen. Mine came from a Bible college that was online. It was accredited, though. Amen. No shade. I promise that's no shade. See, this is when, oh, Lord, I lost about 3 people right there. See, the days are moving fast towards destruction or blessing. Haven't you seen that? It's moving fast, y'all. See, God will prove himself that the blessing is sure. You can bet that without any doubt. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a moment in your life when it felt like time stood still? Oh, God, today is just taking forever. You get to work, and it's 9 o'clock. You go to the bathroom. And you try to stay in there until your legs fall asleep looking at your phone while you're sitting there. Because you don't want to have to deal with what's going on in the day. And then you come from out of there and you go to the snack machine and you eat your snacks. And you're like, oh, my goodness. And then you try to talk somebody in the hallway and all this different type of stuff. And then right when you get back at your desk, it's 9:05. It seems like time is just standing still. Well, on a deeper level, that's how God allows us to savor a moment. You get that? Savor a moment. Let me live in the moment just for a second. When we got into this building, I had to just sit there and just take it all in. No clocks, no looking to see what time it is. I just had to take it all in. When I got married to my wife, after I said I do and we got into the limousine on the way back to Orlando, I just had to take it all in. I was like, oh, my goodness. I got a mouth to feed now. Oh, my goodness. Are we going to finish that bottle of Alizé? We never finished it. That was 17 years ago, y'all. Just sitting in the moment. You called it thug passion, by the way. We just sitting in the moment. Just sitting in the moment, just resting there. It was a good time. And so that's what King Hezekiah was doing. He said, I want to relish this moment that God has given me a second chance. Before I get ready to go into my purpose, before I get ready to carry out his work and carry out his plan, let me just sit here for a moment in this office for this new job that I just got. I've never had an office before. I've never had, watch this, somebody that looked this nice before, and they love me. I know I'm preaching good. Have you ever said, husband, have you ever said, wow, how did that happen? I know I did. I was like, wow, how did that happen? And I just sit there. That's what Hezekiah did. He just sat and he relished in the moment where God made things stand still. He allows you to do that and savor that moment so that you could take a deep breath and press forward with zeal and passion to do exactly what he told you to do. That's what happens when he gives you a breakthrough. He gives you a moment to enjoy the blessing, and then after that, you need to get to work and do exactly what he told you to do. But as always, I'm coming around the mountain, the nature of man gets tempted to exploit and show off, resulting in compromise. This is what happens sometimes when you get too much time. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12 through 18 says, at that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon. So now Assyria has been defeated, but now there's new enemy, bigger enemy. They're beating their chests. They're stepping at the door of the gates of Israel, and now they're wondering what in the world is going on here with this particular king. So Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah has been sick. Be careful what enemies show up when you're sick or when you're weak. Be careful what type of enemies show up when you're in, ladies and gentlemen, that vulnerable moment. I shouldn't, but I want to. Be careful of what happens at those key times, because you might do something that you'll regret. So Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them, watch this, look at how he's bragging, because he's like, man, I got 15 years, doc. I got 15 more years in ministry to do exactly what God has told me to do. I got 15 more years. I'm going to be in ministry for 30 years. I'm going to be at this job for 15 more years. Look at me. Look at this. Look at this. So Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures. Look at my stage. Look at my speakers. Look at my sound system. That's like me doing that in here. Look at the people that I have. Look at what God has done through me. Your arrogant self. See, verse 13 goes on to say, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in this house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. So he's showing the enemy at a weak moment everything that he's got. Young people, old people, and everybody in between, when you're on social media or when you're on phone with Sheila, whoever it may be, don't tell them or show them every single thing that you got. You have to be careful of putting all of your cards on the table, because more times than not, the house is stacked against you and you won't win. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah. Like always, if a man or woman of God tries to stop you before you do something stupid, this is what it sounds like. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say? And from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? Everybody doesn't need to know that your man knows how to do certain things. Everybody doesn't need to know. My wife, several occasions, has done this. Not only naturally, but also spiritually. Because they don't need to see all of that. Men, you don't need to flaunt everything. We know that she has a Coke bottle sitting. You trying to, as, all right. As Drake said, you went out, you wear more, you went out more, but wear less. Because you're trying to show them that you got something now? You're parading them around like a trophy? In front of your enemies, in front of your boys. And then you get mad when one of your boys gets tempted and they start dialing on their cell phone. That. Late night when they need some love. Can't show everybody everything. America, those of you that are online, I don't show you everything. I had to learn that. My wife told me that. She said, Yonder, you got a lot of stuff in that round head of yours, but you don't need to show everything. Verse 7:16 says, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Uh-oh. He's about to lay down where the cows can get it. Verse 17, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon, nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your, watch this, sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. So that means that your compromise will affect your children's children. And they shall be, get this, they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Do you know what a eunuch is? It is a man who has been castrated. Let me break it down to you. See, in this moment, the king was confronted by the same man who told him how to handle the blessing, Isaiah. Isaiah said, maximize your time. Pastor Martin is saying, maximize your time. Do exactly what God has told you to do. Don't waste his time. There's souls to save. There's people to reach. There's places to go. There's lives to change. There's plans that we have to do. You don't have to wait until you get this nice, warm, and fuzzy feeling. If you need to join in, you need to join in with what God is doing. Let's move forward. Sometimes God is not going to give you a sign. Signs are for the wicked unbeliever. Hear ye the word of the Lord. He was confronted by King Hezekiah. The same one who told him how to handle the 15 extra years has now come back again and telling him another new phrase. You see, instead of focusing on what God wanted, he wanted King Hezekiah to show off his blessing and breakthrough. Look at my new husband, Charles. Look at Bernadette. Look at her. Isn't she nice? I see it all the time on Facebook where they're parading and they're flaunting. I don't want everybody to know because the heart of men is desperately wicked. It's just like you showing everybody that you're on vacation. When you're on vacation, the thieves see it too. Not everybody's your friend. And half of us don't even have no thing at the house called ADT. So they'll just kick in the door, waving the 4-4. They're looking around. Oh, they're on vacation. I saw them on Facebook. How'd you know that? They got selfies everywhere. Talk about, I'm in the Bahamas today. Look at this. I got my tax refund. Look at me. I'm balling now just for 3 days. I'm so crazy. Oh my God. So you can't tell everybody every cotton picking thing. Can't do that. So you can't show everybody your blessings or your breakthrough. Sometimes you got to keep it to yourself. But you know what? You know the reason why he wanted to do that? He wanted to stick it to his haters. You got to fight that urge. Ooh. God is blessing you. You need to go forward in your business or your personal affairs. And everybody doubted you. And everybody said you weren't going to amount to anything. Said you weren't going to go forward. And then, oh, then, when God moves on your behalf, you like, hold up now. Hold up now. Let me go ahead and talk to my haters out there. Then you get on Facebook and talk about stuff. Oh, look at all my haters. Look at all my haters. You don't like this. You don't like this, do you? You don't. Come on, man. You're being immature. But God says he will resist the proud and give grace to the humble. King Hezekiah's legacy has, as a result, become a mixed one. He was considered a good king, no doubt, but the mistake he made while getting extra time had serious consequences. I know some people that are affiliated with this ministry that are going to be getting some second chances very soon. And if they don't maximize upon it, they're not going to get another chance. You know who I'm talking to. So Hezekiah, as I close, said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord, look at how he's talking, which you have spoken is good. For he said, will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days? So he knew he was screwed up in his Bernie Mac voice. You know you messed up, dude. You know you messed up. Y'all know where that comes from. So then he was like, okay, well, can I at least have peace while I'm still here? I know I messed up, but, you know, God, work with me. And then it fast forwards with no more new exploits. So in that short period of time, for the rest of his tenure, or the rest of those 15 years, you didn't hear of any great things that Hezekiah did, except for one. Look at it in verse 20. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all his might, and how he made a pool and a tunnel and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of Chronicles and of the kings of Judah? Those are the two missing books of the Bible that have been destroyed. Okay, let me skip past that. Come to Bible study, you know what I'm talking about. Verse 21. So Hezekiah rested with his fathers. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. Good God Almighty. So you mean to tell me that Manasseh, one of the most wicked kings, came from out of the loins of Hezekiah? And that Manasseh came as a result of that extra time? Good God from Zion. So here's some things to remember. Make wise use of your time, people of God, and don't waste his. Don't keep on saying, I'll see you next week. I'll see you next week. I'll see you next week. How do you know next week will come? You don't know. Be aware of the legacy you are leaving. Even if you're young, you're leading the legacy. It's okay to start strong, but you have to finish strong. That's very important. That's when it gets hard. Because most of the men of God of stature that you see falling today, they started off great and they were very powerful, but they met that big giant towards the end of their years. That's what happened with King David. He met Ishbi-Benob and the six-fingered giant after Goliath in his latter years. And he was weak, and that's when some of the biggest enemies come in your mind. We call it, watch this, for the ladies, menopause, and for men, midlife crisis. That's when stuff starts to rage your mind after you've conquered and after you've done all these great exploits. The enemy always tries to come back and try to take you down when you're at the top of your game. So be humble when you get a second chance to do right, all right? Often when you experience the mercy of God, he knows that if you mess it up, the consequences will be so serious that it has the potential to cut off your bloodline. And they will serve idols, the idols you worship when you wasted your second chance. That doesn't make sense, Pastor Martin. Break it down for me. See, when God gives you a second chance to get it right, what you don't need to do is when you do get that nice job, when you do find that nice man or that nice woman, when you do get that nice opportunity to have more money, you don't need to take that opportunity and then make an idol out of it. You get married, and then we don't see you in the house of the Lord anymore. You get a brand new car, and you're always on vacation every weekend. You get a brand new job, and they require you to travel every single Sunday. That's what the enemy does. He tries to trap you with a blessing that keeps you out of the presence of the Lord. Because all God asked is that you go up to the temple in 3 days and worship me with intimacy. I didn't want anything else from you. And the scripture doesn't say that Hezekiah even did that. It just said what he was supposed to do. But you see nowhere where he actually did it. God told you what you needed to do. I'm talking to somebody in here. And you know exactly what you need to do. Don't waste his time. Don't waste his time. Don't birth a Manasseh, a one who erase your father's legacy. That's what Manasseh did. He was so rough and disobedient and wicked until they didn't even remember what Hezekiah did. So the same will happen with you. All these good things that God is doing through you, you compromise. And now you birth something that had nothing to do with God. And what you birth now takes over your legacy. How would you feel If one of your sons or daughters takes over your business that you sweat and bled and died for, and they run it into the ground like Hophni and Phinehas, how would you feel? I know, how would I feel if my sons came and took over the ministry, whether my natural sons or spiritual sons, and they ran this place down into the ground after I labored, bled, and cried in this place over and over again? When I was crying in my office, we had 30 days in order to move from one building to the next place, and we didn't even have a place to go in our final week before they kicked us out of that place. With tears streaming down my eyes, with boxes raised up to the ceiling. Those memories are stamped in my mind, and then another person comes after that. And it's not that they just come after that and do it. I caused it to happen because of my disobedience. Daddy compromised. So why can't I? Good God, I'm Zion. And then finally, your soul also is at stake if you don't have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I love the story about Hezekiah and Isaiah. God gave them more time and he didn't use it wisely. But I pray that all of you that are sitting and listening to the sound of my voice this morning, that you also have a personal relationship with Jesus. He's not another way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to God but through him. You may know a lot academically about biblical things and things that are going on with the world, but knowing doesn't equal wisdom. Because there's a lot of brilliant people that do nothing. You have to know and apply. So I pray that you know that Jesus is here to save you, to transform your life. Don't waste his time. And if you don't waste his time, God will give you more time to do exactly what he wants to do through you. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, and we bless you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died and was buried and rose again on the third day. We thank you for all the members and guests and online viewers this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they know how to maximize the use of their time and that they won't squander and waste opportunities and is always the last person in and missing out on things that are so important. Lord God, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, that you touch these, your people, and that they seize the moment, that they press forward with zeal and with passion, that they won't let another week go by, another day go by, without doing exactly what you have told them to do. Help them to make the decision and to stand on it, regardless of whether they feel something or not. Let us walk in obedience and faith. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right. Well, we are done. Oh, if you need prayer, see, I get into the mode sometime. If you need prayer, come on up. The anointing is flowing. So, yes, we're done, but let me pray for you. I don't know everything, but I know who God is. If you're going through something in your life right now, you need answers. If you have trouble doing what God has already told you to do, maybe you need a little extra push. Amen. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be so well worth it in the end. You might lose some friends. People are going to feel some kind of way about you, but you need to move forward. Some of you are dealing with anger issues because of what happened to you or what somebody did to you and has never healed properly. Let God speak to you this morning and put love on that area. You don't need to fight, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness and high places. Wrestling means that the fight is not going to end. Fights, you win or you lose. But wrestling is ongoing. And we all wrestle with something. Amen. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? If you're not saved and you want to be saved by God, just raise your hand. Say, Lord God, I want to make a change in my life. I want to do something different.
To worship you, I live. To worship.
If there's anyone in this place that has unforgiveness in their heart, bitterness towards a brother or sister, not only in this house, but in private, or even bitterness or anger towards me, I pray that the Lord touches you. I pray that they forgive you, and I forgive you. Amen. So, Father, we come here right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray for strength. And I pray for encouragement that you will do exactly what God has told you to do. Lord God, I pray for healing of the past.
Jesus.
For those things and those wounds, they could be a testimony and not secrets. Lord God, I pray for focus and clarity in the name of Jesus. Let the passion turn into purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you for this time.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you for this time.
To worship you, I
thank you, Lord God, for this union, this marriage, Lord God. It hasn't been easy. Things have happened. But you're still God. Heavenly Father, let this be a springboard into the future. Let there be forgiveness. Let there be true reconciliation. I don't know what's happening. But Lord God, you know. They have so much potential. They have royalty in their bloodline, Lord God. Give them the strength to continue to do what you have already told them to do. They're in this together until heaven parts them. We thank you, Lord God, for this relationship. We thank you, Lord God, for this union. I speak blessing and favor and miracle working power. Lord God, I see that there were strings that were attached by people. And I cut those strings,
name of Jesus,
those prior soul ties,
in the name of Jesus,
over the both of them. You will not be manipulated.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You will not be used.
In the name of Jesus.
Let there be true trust.
Yes, God.
Whatever happened,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
to you doesn't have to happen,
Jesus,
again. In Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you for focus, Jesus, and clarity.
Thank you, Jesus.
I pray right now, Lord God, for true sight, hallelujah, spiritual sight. In Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you. Bless your holy name, Lord God. God says that he will be a father to the fatherless. He'll give hope to the hopeless. Lord God, I pray that this young woman of God will do exactly what you have already told her to do. No time to waste. Things have happened. But there's therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And your past is not an anchor. Your past is not a hindrance. Let it be a springboard. Let this woman of God move forward right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Father, I thank you right now for this great man of God. Lord God, you're speaking to him in volumes.
Yes.
Lord God, he's strong. But he wants to be vulnerable. He wants to rest in your arms as a true man of God.
Teach him how to lead his future family, Heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
Give him encouragement that he doesn't have to be like anyone else. Allow for him to be comfortable in his own skin, Heavenly Father, and not to overanalyze things. I speak peace over his family situation. I speak peace in his household. And Lord God, I speak true reconciliation among his family members. Whoever they may be, Lord God, let him be the example going forward. Let him have a true relationship with you. And Father, if he doesn't know Jesus, save him. Save him, Lord God. Touch his heart right now, Heavenly Father, and let him know that you are absolutely real. You are calling him to a higher purpose. Let him heed the call and answer. Look at me, young man. God has need of you. David was close to your age when he was called to great things. He was a mighty man. He was called to be a king.
Jesus.
Don't let the silent years of your development get to you. For even David had to wait 17 years before he took his rightful place as the king of Israel. Don't waste God's time. Use this time. Live your life to the fullest and be an example. Sometimes things happen to us on purpose because no one else could take it. But you, oh man of God, oh, warrior of God, move into your calling. Do exactly what he has told you to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, I come to you right now, and we seal this day as a day that will be not like no other. Let this be a true springboard. Let the anger dissipate. Let the confusion dissipate. Let the hurt and pain be cast away. Whatever our fathers and mothers did to us, Lord God, whatever they did for us, Lord God, let this be a new day where your legacy is birthed. I speak unity, I speak peace, and I speak blessings and favor.
Thank you.
I speak a new and renewed spirit, Lord God. I breathe. Breathe new life into them, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for forgiving us and giving us a second chance, giving us an extension, giving us more time to do exactly what you have told us to do. Hallelujah. Let's take a few minutes to worship him.
Hallelujah.
Oh, 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 oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't let this life make you so hard until you can't feel anymore. Don't become what has happened to you. No, no, no. You can hallelujah. You can reset. You don't have to do what daddy or mama did to you. No, you don't. No, you don't. You have a second chance. A second chance. A second chance. Oh, oh, oh. I know you've given him or her so many chances until they don't even deserve it. But let it happen one more time. Give it to God, my sister. Give it to God, my brother. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. The breakthrough is coming. Some of you are getting married right now. Not in the flesh, but you're getting married to God. He's putting a ring on it right now. Hallelujah. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for protecting me. And Father, as we go to our homes, to our dwelling places, I pray, Lord God, that your word be carried with them and it is applied to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Embrace somebody. Encourage somebody. Let them know that God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.